Hi, good afternoon. Well, thanks for coming, and no postprandial snoozing. So we're going to talk about how we use in Western New York our regional health information exchange to facilitate public health STD reporting and partner notification. I'm stuck.
Curious. See. Can't go anywhere.
I'm trapped in my title slide. Can't even escape.
No, I know. We're literally stuck. Excuse us while we experience technical difficulties.
I just have to talk. Yay! It came back. All right, just need a little Roto-Rooter. So I just want to thank my RTI International co-authors for helping us evaluate this, putting dollars onto the savings with using our health information exchange, because it's not worth it, right, if you can't show that it's cost saving. Are my Erie County Health Department colleagues, and also to my HealthyLink colleagues. Okay, so what I'm going to talk about this afternoon in 15 minutes is an overview of HealthyLink, what it's all about, to talk about how we manage STDs in Erie County, how we use HealthyLink for STD follow-up. I'll show you a picture of what HealthyLink looks like, so show you that it's very user-friendly. And then I'll present the RTI's analysis of the benefits of HealthyLink for our STD follow-up. So let's talk about HealthyLink. So HealthyLink is our health information exchange, and it's really, a noun more than a verb. It's this great, health information all in the cloud. So we have almost all the lab reports, radiology reports, all the prescriptions filled, all the medical records from healthcare providers, hospitals, long-term healthcare facilities, all in one place where providers and health departments can access it. And it's really great information. And our HealthyLink, our regional health information organization, serves the eight counties of Western New York. So we are the toe of the New York State boot, where New York City is the heel. So, no pun. So I'm going to show you how, I'm going to convince you that Western New York is a great place to move to. Right now it's 70 degrees, sunny, great place to be, and then we're pushing the envelope with using health information technology. But I can't figure out how to use these slides. Okay, so we serve the eight counties of Western New York because people cross county lines for healthcare very often, and our goal is to superbly support accomplishment of the triple aim: better health, better care at lower costs. So this has really been a 13-year journey. We've had this huge collaborative effort with partners that used to never speak to each other. So the different hospital systems, the different health plans, we've all worked together for the first time to create this great health information exchange. So we've had data flowing into HealthyLink since 2008, but only in the past couple years have we reached the tipping point. So people have really been uploading data into HealthyLink, and patients have been consenting to participate. And so this has been a huge investment, both financial — we've received a lot of grants — but also, local hospitals and health plans and health systems have invested a lot of time and resources and meetings and money to get this going. So just let me explain the confidentiality process and the consent process with HealthyLink. So under most circumstances, providers can only access patient information on HealthyLink if the patient has consented. So where we typically see this happening is with their primary care provider. When they go in, if they haven't already consented to participate into HealthyLink, the provider or their nurse provides them with informed consent so they can participate onto HealthyLink. think. So we're getting, you know, in the, especially in the past couple of years, we're getting a huge increase in participation. So if the provider is a participant to HealthyLink and the patient is a participant to HealthyLink, the provider can see, any provider that participates can see any clinical record from any of the local data sources of the eight counties of Western New York, their medication history, all their lab reports, their any type of radiology reports. And this is, we also are able to get data throughout New York State and also through federal systems like the VA. And so it's great because someone comes in with chest pain into emergency department. The emergency department that participates with HealthyLink can just go onto HealthyLink, click onto the patient who has consented to participate onto a HealthyLink, onto their main page, and then, you know, see, you know, what their medical diagnoses are, you know, their past medical history, see what type of lab tests they've had recently, what type of radiology tests, you know, see what type of medication they're on, and they don't have to repeat all that stuff. We don't have to, like, repeat CT scans or repeat tests that have just recently been done. So there are instances where we don't need consent. First of all, if a patient is being transferred, say, for coordination of care, they're going from an acute care facility to a long-term care facility, there is like a discharge summary that is automatically delivered to the rehab facility. And then any type of care coordination, we don't necessarily need direct patient consent. And also, health departments, we can break the glass. We do not need consent because if we look at it is, you know, we are HIPAA exempt, so we have access to this medical information for disease investigation. Also, if it's under an emergency, someone's coming in, you know, they're unconscious, nobody has any medical history of them, you know, to save their life, emergency department docs are allowed to break the glass and go into HealthyLink to find out what's going on. So, again, as I mentioned, we've had this huge recent uptick in participation into HealthyLink. We have, you know, almost all the labs are participating. We get almost all the radiology reports. All the hospitals in our region are participating into HealthyLink, so we get all those data. There are over 700 provider practices. There are over 3,000 participating providers. There are over 12,000 users, four long-term care facilities, and four home health agencies are also participating, and then 14 radiology operations are also participating. So we have almost all the mental health information in our community, you know, in this cloud. So the question is, you know, is it working? Well, these are graphs looking at, you know, the participation. It just over the past, 4 years. And you can see that there's, you know, we've reached a tipping point. We've had, you know, a huge increase in usage of HealthyLink. Providers are going on all the time to look up medical information for their patients that they otherwise wouldn't be able to see. Also, more patients are getting consented or agreeing to participate onto HealthyLink. So again, we have, you know, more people who in our community who are participating, and we can access more data. And also, the bottom pie chart is looking at the proportion of CT scans that have been duplicated in the past 6 months that by HealthyLink queries. So we can see that more than 70% of the duplicated CT scans, those providers did not access HealthyLink before they ordered them. So most of the CT scans actually are not being replicated, and you know, we're saving cost dollars that way. So if you want more information about HealthyLink, here's some links for you. And so let me just talk about briefly about how we operate STD case management in Erie County. So this is looking at the number of gonorrhea, chlamydia, and syphilis cases we've had over the past 6 years. The data that I want to concentrate for this talk is the 2012 data, because last summer this analysis was conducted, and we used our 2012 data to conduct the analysis. So you can see we're a county of about 1 million people, and we've in 2012 we had almost 1,800 gonorrhea cases, more than 5,000 chlamydia cases, and then 37 early syphilis and 67 total syphilis cases. So to do all this work, we have one DIS supervisor. We have two county-paid DIS who investigate syphilis, chlamydia, and gonorrhea. We have one DIS that is funded through a grant from New York State that does primarily HIV partner notification for new cases, but he also helps out with syphilis, gonorrhea, and chlamydia contact investigations. And then we have one DIS that works on our high-impact HIV prevention with getting people who have been diagnosed with HIV who've been out of care for 18 months or more back into care. So this is looking at the type of workload that we've had in 2012 with our DIS, and we work very closely with our New York State DIS. They do some of our investigations, and they help us with many of our investigations. So from just looking at the top with Erie County DIS, our DIS and do all the investigation for all the gonorrhea, chlamydia, and syphilis cases that were diagnosed at our STD clinic, and also the cases that were referred to our DIS. We also investigate the partners that we learn about through our investigations. So the New York State DIS, they help us investigate some of these cases that refer to us, but they also investigate the other Erie County gonorrhea cases that were not diagnosed in our STD clinic, chlamydia cases that were not diagnosed in our STD clinic that are 16 years age or younger, pregnant, repeaters, or physicians contact us and say, we can't get them treated. They also investigate the syphilis cases that were not diagnosed in our STD clinic. Then our EPI staff has a big part in this. They do a lot of, complete the case reports to send to the state. So they electronically enter the STD cases treatment provided by the medical care provider, and they go on to HealthyLink to look up this information and also to get the demographic information. So in 2012, our DIS investigated 285 STD cases, 1,313 and cases of gonorrhea that were referred to DIS. And then for chlamydia, we investigated over 500 STD clinic cases and then over 600 cases that were referred to our DIS. And so, we've become so efficient in our time that we have actually, instead of decreasing the workload of the DIS, we've been able to increase it because we've been so efficient, we can take on more. So, yeah, give me more. So, not that much. New York State's here, not that much. So the new work that we've been taking on is for gonorrhea cases, we're looking at more than just our STD clinic patients. We're also looking at residents in our 14211 zip code, which is our hotspot zip code. And then for chlamydia cases, we are also looking at, in addition to the STD clinic patients, residents in the 14211 zip code who are, again, under 16, pregnant, repeaters, or the providers say they can't get them treated. So just some general uses of HealthyLink. We use it for all our communicable disease investigations, you can see on the left. But for our STD investigation, it is just crucial for us to use for demographic information just to confirm that the patient is really an Erie County resident, find out what their current address is, because many times, people in our county diagnosed with STDs oftentimes are transient, and so they change addresses pretty frequently. We can find their phone number. We can also, what's really important is access information about their treatment. So we can find out if these chlamydia cases were treated or not and actually reported to the state. So you guys like that, right? So, and then we also, specifically for STD investigations, we confirm the positive lab report. We check if the women were pregnant. And again, we get STD treatment information. So just to show you what HealthyLink looks like, so here's its webpage. So we want to find out information about a patient. We go to the patient index. And then this is a picture of the patient index. So we type in demographic information, their last name, their date of birth, whatever we can find out glean from the laboratory reports. And so I typed in Mickey Mouse. And so for Mickey Mouse, we go to his VHR, or virtual health record. So this is the virtual health record. So it has the lab reports, radiology reports, any types of consultative reports, and ADT is admissions, discharge, and transfers. So going to the lab reports, you can see that there was a pregnancy test and a chlamydia and gonorrhea test. So we go and click on that, and we see that there was, this person had a positive test for chlamydia and a negative test for gonorrhea. So I have 15 minutes, right? Okay, sorry. So let's speed it up. Uh-huh. Oh, okay. When I'm having fun. Okay, so going back to the medications, is this person treated? So we go back to the person's homepage, look at the medications, and see that they did receive azithromycin, and we can tell that they filled it at Rite Aid. So let me move on to the economic analysis of Healthy Link that our RTI colleagues did. So again, just looking at increases in treatment reporting, I mean, we really started using this a lot in 2012. You can see there's a huge increase in, you know, completed cases to the state with reporting with full treatment information, even for chlamydia, you know, much more in 2012 than 2011. Also, with looking at the economic value of using HealthyLink, we looked at it for STDs just in terms of staff time savings of not having to chase demographic information or treatment information, and also savings with preventing disease by finding cases that were untreated and getting them treated and finding partners and getting them into care too. So this is a table looking at the savings that is just in terms of staff time for looking up the demographic information for the cases on the top and looking up the treatment information for chlamydia on the bottom. And so you can see that there were many hours saved in 2012 because we could just click on HealthyLink. We didn't have to call the clinic or call the hospital or the emergency department and wait for that information. We just click, get it, and we're done. So again, our epidemiologists earned some money, so we calculated what the cost savings were. So these are the cost benefits of, on the top chart is looking at savings in terms of finding untreated cases and getting them into care and getting treated, and finding additional cases of partners, and again, getting them into care. So again, looking at the different you know, values, looking at the direct medical costs avoided per treatment and on the indirect medical costs avoided per treatment, the cost of the treatment, and then in highlighted in yellow is the additional individuals they were able to bring into treatment. Then also looking at, you know, multiplying that, looking at the total direct and medical costs avoided, and then the cost of treatment and the net benefit. And so we're looking at this for women, men who have sex with men, and heterosexual men, and then everybody. And so really, you know, the cost savings for women were much more, and that's really, you know, cost savings for preventing PID. That was really driving the cost, is preventing PID. And then looking at the, again, on the bottom chart, looking at the cost benefits from, you know, finding the partners and getting them into care. Again, looking at the direct and indirect medical costs, the additional people that we had able to treat, and then multiplying that to getting the total indirect and direct medical costs that were avoided, and for men and women, and you can see, you know, we saved a lot of money. Again, this is looking at the same data for gonorrhea. The top chart looking at you know, how much money was saved just in terms of, you know, our staff not having to look up the demographic information, going on to HealthyLink. And again, the bottom chart is looking at the money that they saved because they were able to get the treatment onto HealthyLink. And again, here's the same data for gonorrhea, just the cost benefits of treating the cases and the cost benefits of treating the partners of the cases. So again, here's the same data for syphilis, and just in terms of the cost avoided. We didn't have, fortunately, 2012, we didn't have a lot of syphilis, but we're still able to save money just in terms of getting the untreated cases into care and getting their partners into care. So I just want to take a couple minutes just to talk about how we use this for HIV, our expanded partner services, because we didn't have this up and running for very long when RTI came to do their investigation. So I interviewed our head DIS, and she said, we really love HealthyLink. Before HealthyLink, they only had a 70% success in locating HIV cases and a 40% success in locating their contacts. And after HealthyLink, they're getting almost everybody and getting them into care. They also says that it what really helps them also is to get current addresses, because you know the people who have fallen out of care haven't received any HIV care for over 18 months. You know, again, that's a transient population. If they just relied on that lab data from 18 months ago, you know, they'd never be able to find them. But usually, those folks are accessing the healthcare systems in other places, so we can go on to HealthyLink, find current demographic information on them, and go find them and help them get back into care. So it's really been an efficient use of time. So I have probably just 4 minutes for questions, right? Oh, 3 minutes. Sorry.
Sorry.
We'll start with one, and we'll see if we have time for a second.
Okay. Gail, that was really interesting.
Thank you.
And being in New York City, where we also have Rios, I was intrigued because the last time we looked at using a RIO for STD management follow-up, the impression was that it wasn't useful, and the reason for that was that it was mostly, the members were mostly just large hospital facilities. And since most of what we're doing is outpatient, there might have been some ER data in there we could have used. And I just wondered, you mentioned that I think there were 698 private providers in Erie County who were members. Do you know how many private that's practices, sorry, and 3,000 providers.
Right.
Do you know how many practices there are? Or what proportion of private providers, essentially, are on your RIO? And do you have any sort of impression of where on that curve of uptake of the RIO and in submission of data you hit the turning point where accessing the RIO actually was useful? Because it's not... I don't think it's currently useful in New York, and I think it's because the private providers aren't on. But,
right.
But I need to follow up and find out. But what is your impression?
Right. Well, again, you know, I don't have a denominator. You know, I don't know exactly, you know, how many provider offices and how many providers there are in the eight counties in Western New York. So, but just anecdotally, I feel that, you know, most practices, most offices, especially that have EMRs, are participating in HealthyLink, and so I think right now the challenge is getting patients to consent to be onto HealthyLink, because it's kind of on the onus of the providers to consent their patients, and so that's, you know, extra time. They don't get reimbursed for that, so I think that's kind of a big challenge. But I think, again, I think we've reached the tipping point where providers can see the benefits to this, and so they're kind of incentivized to get their patients to participate. But again, you know, it's been, you know, this has been a process.
And is, do you think Erie County is further along in this process than other parts of New York State?
That's what I've been told, but you know, I'm not really as aware of what's going on in the rest of New York State. But that's what our HealthyLink colleagues have told us.
Thank you.
So thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.